All right, Al, we're back once more. Back again. Been a while.
Been too long,
You're out there winning, city championships. We got
Rob.
Briarcrest out here making buzzer beaters on people on
Hey,
broken plays.
20-win season, baby. 20-win season for well, for my sixth grade team, 20-win season. Seventh, eighth grade team, we won, which I was an assistant coach. We won 15 games and unfortunately got beat in the championship, but had a good run with them too.
Games did y'all play?
Oh, to be honest, Rob, in this year alone, in the past 3 months, so November, December, January, and literally the first week of February, I probably coached almost 80 games.
Good job.
That's eight. That's with an eight, 80.
And you're at the 7th grade, 6th and 7th grade level.
Sixth, seventh, eighth grade.
Good.
Yeah. But it's fun, man. It was a fun year. Just being on the game, man, as much as I can. So obviously have aspirations to do it at a higher level, but
Everybody starts somewhere.
all that will come in the future. But
Yeah, every guy's got to start somewhere. Ask all these coaches that we see these days that, were ask Nate Oates. 6 years ago, he was coaching high school basketball. Now he's probably one of the hottest names in coaching at the moment at Alabama.
Yeah, and I remember last year, Rob, in Houston, remember Phyllis 68 podcast at
Yeah.
what was that place called again? O'Brien's?
Yeah, something
No.
like that. I can't remember.
Kind of like, what was that little Irish bar we could go to?
Yeah, I think so.
But you remember Rodney Terry was
Yeah.
there, and Rodney Terry, did you talk? I think we both talked to him, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Him and
But
Tang.
he was talking about how he started as a obviously when he was young getting into coaching, he started as a middle school teacher, middle school coach, and then worked up to the high school level, and then obviously had connections and found his way into college,
Was he on Beard's staff anywhere before Texas?
I think Tech. I think he
Okay.
went with
All
him
right.
from Tech to Texas.
Okay.
And then obviously, when Chris Beard got let go, and then picked up Miss, Rodney Terry stepped in. And then last year he did an unbelievable job, sailing the ship, keeping that thing going. And I don't know if you saw last night, they got a big win. Did you see that game last night by
Yeah,
chance?
they had a fight, basically.
That might be one of the, I think that was might be, that was a bad flagrant two foul that
It
I've seen
was.
this year. I mean, that was a little
He'll be
reckless, but
fine. He'll be fine.
yeah, it's
And
just part of
suspended.
the game.
Well, not
Part of the
fine.
game.
He can't be fined at the college level, but suspended.
With this NIL though money, Rob, you might have to start finding
Maybe that's what it'll take. I don't know how to stop that, but we'll get that later in the podcast.
for sure.
We talk about throwing stuff on the court. We'll start tonight with storming the court.
It's funny that kind of led right into this, didn't it, Rob?
Storming the fence, everybody wants to compare it, or at least here's my thought. Everybody wants to compare it to storming the field in football. Well, a football field's 120 yards wide, 52 yards or 50 something yards across.
More people,
That's
though.
it is more people, but a basketball court is 94 feet.
Yeah.
It is 94 feet of surface that you can rush, and you got about the same amount of students coming onto the floor as you would
Yeah.
when they rush the field. So,
Yeah.
I kind of do believe court storm. If you're gonna do it, get the other team off the floor. Now,
Yeah.
you can say what you want about the stuff with Duke and Filipowski, and he pushed the guy. Whatever. A
And
little
then
bit of that's on John Shire. He's got to get his team off.
even Caitlin Clark, which
Yeah.
I feel like she got some heat. Everybody was like trying to say she flopped and stuff. It's like, how are you in that situation? If you're not in that situation, how do you know? Like,
Yeah, you know.
she was obviously hurt walking off the court after that happened. But what do you think about what do you think about they were even saying, I guess Jay Billis very against it. Did you hear his take on all
Yeah,
that?
I don't really think we need to lock the people on the court and arrest them. I mean, I maybe a little extreme, but you know, last night I'm watching Mississippi State and Kentucky, and Jimmy Dykes brought up an interesting point that apparently has been talked about, and it's you storm the court, we take a home game away from you next year.
Wow.
And that's, I mean, that puts the onus on the university to make sure it doesn't happen. That doesn't put
Yeah.
the onus on the students or the police department or whatever it may be. It's, hey,
Yeah.
you do this, you're gonna lose out on revenue.
Yeah. Think about this, though, Rob. How long? We're probably in the same boat. We've probably been going to college sporting events since we were what? A day old, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
So, but like, ever since I can remember going to college basketball games, storming the court has been that's the thing. I feel like we're almost maybe talking about it like it's something that just new that's happened. It's been going on forever, you know?
It
Do
has.
you think people handled it like, was it different back,
Yeah, it was because
10 years ago?
people weren't running on the court with their phone in their hands trying to get a reaction out of somebody. They were
That's
doing
true.
it because they loved the university. They were excited about the win. And let's all call a spade here. They probably gotten a bit lit, bit, sorry, a little bit liquored up out at the, you know, local watering holes before the game. Or in line to go in the student section. I don't know. But nowadays, you got all these kids that they're trying to get famous on TikTok or Instagram or Twitter or whatever it may be. And, you know, they got the phone in either right at the guy's face or right in their face running towards somebody. It's like, and you're expecting bad things to happen.
Yeah. I think, just a simple message, which I know you got to have security to do it, but just, PA announcer, whoever at the game, just simply holding, trying to do whatever he can at a stoppage of the game to just get that message across to say, we
Well,
are
and
not
that's
storming the court until the other team, the opposing team, has been removed kind of from the premises and off the playing surface.
well, you know, honestly, you say that, and I'll give it to you like this. I think that would be cooler. So, for example, it's apple and oranges, but go to Sacramento in the NBA. They do the light the beam thing, that 3-2-1, they light the. How cool would it be if you get the other team off the court, hey, 5-4-3, and let them all run over? I think that'd be
That
amazing to watch.
actually is a great idea. Turn
But
the light, dim the lights
yeah,
down, get
you
the
know,
fireworks going.
get the LED lights flashing
That's
around, make it a party, whatever, you know?
exactly. And then the university can get all the pictures they want for recruiting and stuff,
Exactly. It,
that kids
again,
like to see.
there are safe ways to do, and again, you're never going to be able to take out all the liability of storming the court. You can't take liability out of life either, though. So if you storm the court, that's your thing. I don't know, maybe you put on the ticket, hey, storming the court, that's your lot, that's your, you know, liability, you know. You're signing away your liability right there
Yeah.
by buying a ticket. So I don't
Yeah.
know.
I guess the only SEC, I was just thinking about this because I was amazed. I wish I had the spread. I should have taken a picture of it, but it was showing, kind of the penalties for each conference.
SEC's big. SEC's
SEC is
$100,000
no
first.
joke.
Yeah, SEC is $100,000 first, $250 second, $500 third, and then I think it's $500 every additional time after that.
Yeah.
Then again, you go to the SEC, you look at the SEC, and I don't think it's as prevalent in the SEC because you look at, take just for the last 5 years, who's been really good at basketball? Auburn's been great under Bruce Pearl. They're
Yeah.
consistently in the top 25, consistently in the
Arkansas.
top 10. Arkansas under Musselman. Now, Arkansas has stormed. They're good for about a storm a year at this point.
Yeah. Because they stormed against Auburn, remember, one year, and obviously this year against Duke.
Well, I just remember the year they stormed against Kentucky because they dunked it at the end of the ball game, and
yep.
they, or maybe that was Auburn. Maybe
Shout
I'm
out.
thinking of the Kentucky game. This was years and years ago.
Yep. They won off a dunk. Shout out Mardrakus Wade. Shout
Yeah,
out
I remember
my
it.
boy. Shout out Mardrakus Wade was on that team. Michael Qualls.
Yep,
Michael
came.
Qualls jumped over. Man, I can't
Well, they
remember.
didn't block him. They didn't block the guy out. They didn't block backside, and he just ran backside baseline and slams it.
I need to go back and look. Did they storm the court that game?
Oh, they stormed it. I remember watching.
Yeah. 2 years ago, I feel like I remember they ended. They were up like six, got a steal. They dunked it at the buzzer. You remember?
Is that the Auburn game that I'm thinking
of? That was
of?
The Auburn game. That's the one you're
Okay.
talking about. So you had
Was that when Auburn was number one in the country?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was sitting there the other day. I was trying to think about the last time Mississippi State stormed the court. And the last time I remember it, this is how long ago it's been, I was on the court and I was like 12. It was when we beat, I think it was when we beat Auburn. Well, Auburn, by the way, folks, if you just tuning in, Auburn used to be. They didn't know where their basketball arena was, much less who was on the team. To say they didn't care, understatement of the year. So
they forgot they had a basketball team.
Yeah, we beat Auburn to win the now defunct SEC West Championship in basketball. I remember going on the court for that.
Yeah. You
That's
know, it's
the
funny that
last
you say
time.
that. This goes back. Ole Miss, 1998 or 1999 were SEC Co-West champions with LSU. And I remember Michael White, shout out Michael White, coach at Georgia. I remember all the fans got to come onto the court after the game and celebrate. And I remember I was 4 years old, picked me up to get me on the court. Because I remember they opened the gate. You remember they had like the little gates at the Tadsmith Coliseum. I'm sure it's the same at the Hump. And they let everybody on the court. But it's funny.
I think Ole Miss stormed the court this year, didn't they, when they beat Memphis?
That might have taken place. I need to go back and look.
I think it
which
did.
I don't know why. I guess Memphis, were they ranked at that point? They ranked
Memphis was
something.
Like 12 or 13 in the country at that time.
I like, though, I will say this. Jerome Tang, the coach at Kansas State. Did you see them play Kansas this year, Rob?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see where they were going to win the game? And this actually happened 2 years in a row. Because last year, before the game was over, this is kind of a boss move, I feel like. Before the game was over, he knew they were going to win. He spoke to the crowd and said, I don't want y'all to court storm because we showed up to this game expecting to win.
Yeah.
And he was like, I want to instill that in our fan base that, you know, we expect to win these games. We don't care. We don't care if, you know, they're ranked number one in the country. We're here to win the game. So let's kind of act like it. But this year, I will say this year during they called timeout. Kansas State called timeout. One of the assistant coaches walked over to the student section and was like, you know, kind of telling them like, he was like waving his hands, like, please do not court storm. And was like putting his hands together, like, please, please, no court storm, no court storm. And then but after they won, Rob, the team went to the stands and kind of celebrated in the stands with the students.
And that's fine. Like, you can do that. I got no problem with that. I just, again, if they're going to storm, I think it's like you and I said, the best way is let the other team get off the court.
Yeah, I agree. I'm for the – I don't mind the court storming, but I agree. There's a way to delay it.
Yeah.
I think there's a 5-minute delay. But then again, what you know what they don't you know the people who are in charge, they like the court storm to be seen on the television. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. The people in charge don't want them to storm.
Well, I'm talking about like maybe people who are trying to promote the school. You
Yeah,
know,
like
it looks cool on
ESPN and
TV to
stuff.
see them storming, you know, when
Yeah,
you're just
that
a general.
ESPN, yeah, they want to see him storm court. But that's
It'll
kind
be
of off.
interesting. My last take on that, Rob, is just too, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do about it. But also, it goes to show the SEC has been strict for a long time on things like that. Obviously, you can attest to being a state fan. When there one year y'all had to pay a fine pretty much for every home game y'all played, it was like just go ahead and pay the $50,000 fine for the noisemakers.
Oh yeah, that was 2007 and 2008. I mean, we were just paying fines left and right.
Because obviously, you know, they said no cowbells during the plays, right? You can play, you have a time in between the play to ring your cowbell,
Yeah,
right?
it was when the center gets over. It was before the center gets over the ball.
Yep. But obviously, y'all don't care about that. Y'all are trying to have a home field advantage. What's more important, winning the game or, you know, accepting those rules and say, don't ring your cowbell? But I think it
Well, and I think you
was it
look at
Dan
it.
Mullen? Dan Mullen said, just ring it and we'll pay the fine. Who cares? You know?
Well, see, he said that, and then like the next year, he was like, he came. I still remember this. We were getting ready to play Kentucky, and he came on the mic before the team went in for warm-ups and was like, "Hey, let's ring our cowbells only during the play because they're or only before the play because they're trying to take them away right now."
Yeah.
So I think they knew it, but
Yeah.
again,
I will say I thought that was a cool little tradition he started, speaking to the fans before the game. I thought that was a cool thing. 'Cause I remember Rob going to the Mississippi State Georgia game
yeah.
our senior year. Did you go to that game?
It wouldn't have been our senior year. It would have been our 10th grade or 11th grade year.
Yeah, 11th grade year. That's right, 11th grade year. But I remember him coming on before the game, getting the mic and talking to the fans before the game. I thought that was cool. I thought that was actually really cool. I feel like more coaches need to do that. Just, you know, getting your fan base involved. Obviously, I'm watching Tennessee Auburn right now. Bruce Pearl, obviously he does some crazy stuff, but I will say he's kind of genius marketer when it comes to, you know, getting your fan base excited. You know what I
Oh
mean?
yeah,
He's everywhere he's been. There's an
Bruce
art
knows
to
what
it.
he's doing.
Obviously, you got to win, but you know,
Well, and he does that.
there's an art to it. You know, just getting your fans involved. You're gonna need them for sure.
Yeah.
But
So speaking of, teams and, we look at getting your fan base involved, move on to our topic, for college basketball tonight. Al, what we talked a little bit earlier in the week about kind of the most surprising teams and most disappointing teams. And I mean, I'll start with my most surprising team. I think it's pretty obvious who it's going to be. It's South Carolina. And what
Oh my
Lamont
gosh.
Paris has done with that group. I mean, this is not a team that, was just, oh, there's a bunch of freshmen, they're going to get better. Not, I mean, he's still pretty young. He didn't really go out in the transfer portal and go raid the portal, and freak out. Like, I mean, he really has built this team in 2 years.
Lamont, that was a hire that was just so undervalued. And looking back, Lamont Paris had Chattanooga in the championship game. Or not, sorry, in the won the champ won the SoCon, I get yeah, sorry, won the SoCon championship, had them in the NCAA tournament with a chance to really, they were leading the game under a minute against that Illinois team that was so good. Remember? I think
Yeah.
that Illinois team was a 2 or 3 seed. They had a Coffee Cockburn, the big just so dominant that year. And then obviously the next year he took the job at South Carolina. But
did you know Tyler Hero's brother plays for South Carolina?
Austin Hero?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's a freshman.
I did not know that. Is he like, did he walk on or did he?
I don't know. He's just on the team.
That's interesting. I did not know that. I know. I know L. Ellis, not L. Ellis, Eli Ellis. A guy that plays on overtime in the Overtime Elite League. He's committed there. He's kind of a special kind of. You look at him, you don't think he's, you know, a basketball player, but he's kind of sneaky tall, about 6'1", can really shoot it. But South Carolina, I agree. They've been a menace this year in the SEC. Because they beat Kentucky on the road. Did they beat Tennessee on the road too?
I can't remember. They went through a stretch there where they were winning every game. Let me see. So they didn't beat Kentucky on the road. They beat them at home, but they did beat Tennessee on the road.
That's right. That's right. And then, really, obviously, their worst loss this year was that Auburn game, 101-61.
Yeah.
And then LSU losing to them at home, that was kind of a tough one.
LSU's a fluky team, though.
Yeah, but, you know, you're right. They kind of can sneak up on you. But I feel like they should be what, a 3 or 4 seed, you think?
Probably I think they'll end up as a 5 or a 6, but
okay.
I mean, they're comfortably in the tournament. They've been playing for seeding since early February. So, you know, that'd be my team that I would say is, you know, just they're my most surprising team that I actually didn't see that coming from anywhere. Yeah. Who is your most surprising team?
It's kind of funny, Rob. I'm going to say, this is so totally random, Indiana State.
The Sycamores.
The Sycamores. Did you see they have not – did you – they got into the top 25 this year.
Yeah.
And I want to say that was the first time that they have been in the top 25 since the Hick from French Lick played at Indiana State. And
well,
for our listeners out there, the Hick from French Lick is the great Larry Bird.
Was funny because, you know, they get in the top 25 and they lose 2 straight and get out of it. And now they're back to ripping teams again.
Yeah. They call him the Nikola Jokic, Rob, of college basketball. Do you know who that is?
Well, yeah. Is it the Swope kid? No,
it's
that's
Robbie Avila.
Oh,
Robbie
yeah, that's
Avila.
Right. Yeah, the kid, the 6'10 kid with glasses.
That's right. 6'10, 240 from Oak Forest, Illinois.
Yeah.
They call him the college Nikola Jokic. And
and
I will
7.
Say he's got a good game. Pick and pop player, can really shoot it the top of the key 3, has a little post game, can really pass it. But
he's got 10 tonight. They're up 3 over Evansville. I think that's the Purple Aces.
That's right, Evansville Purple Aces. But I feel like, you know, Indiana State, obviously not a big name for that our listeners know out there, besides playing Michigan State that year in the national championship. Magic Johnson was on that team for Michigan State. But just a team that I noticed, you know, that another mid-major team that I was like, you know, a team that hasn't been ranked in this long. I thought that was a pretty cool story.
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
You know, almost over 40 years ago, they were ranked. You know, a school that just diehard loves, that's all they care about is their basketball, you know?
Well, and honestly, you know, if you want, we're going to talk about most disappointing team, you could go to the other team in the state as being a disappointing team in Indiana. You know, Mike Woodson just has not looked good this year, but that is not where I'm going with this because I'm going, unfortunately, out to the desert. to Tempe, Arizona, to Arizona State. And
yeah.
Bobby Hurley really thought they'd be a better team. Just have not come along, have struggled. They look like they found their stride a little bit there to start big or Pac-12 play. I mean, they get started 4-0 and just fell apart. I mean, there's no other word for it. I don't know what's going on with them. You know, there's rumors out there that Hurley's unhappy. Would he be looking to go somewhere? I don't really know where he'd go, but, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a bad situation for Bobby Hurley out there. You know, just that's a team that, you know, they make the NCAA tournament last year. Everybody just kind of assumed they're going to make it this year. They're not one of the better teams. Pac-12 is just down across the board this year, outside of really Arizona and Washington State.
Which is crazy to think about Washington State. You know, they haven't really been good since Klay Thompson and Tony Bennett, you know.
I'll tell you one thing. I remember Klay Thompson. We had to – Mississippi State had to play him in a holiday tournament. And I'll never forget, we played him, and I'm thinking, who's this Thompson kid? Oh, wait, it's Klay Thompson. He's like 7 threes that game.
Yeah, he's unreal. And they are running those down screens like Virginia always runs, little mover blocker offense. Kind of, they always have a shooter coming off a down screen, you know?
Was that where Tony Bennett was?
Yeah. Before
I did his not dad. Realize
so,
that.
So his dad was the longtime coach at Wisconsin, Dick Bennett. Dick Bennett went to from Wisconsin to Washington State towards the end of his career. Tony Bennett was obviously Dick Bennett's son. He was the main assistant coach. When Dick Bennett retired, Tony Bennett took over.
I had no clue about that. Interesting.
Yeah. So it's funny, Tony Bennett, they don't know. Tony Bennett played in the NBA for a little bit.
Apparently, I didn't know that either.
Apparently he could really shoot it. But yeah, Arizona State, I feel like there's a lot of talent in Arizona. There's a lot of basketball talent. I remember Pinnacle High School, Nico Mannion coming out, who went to Arizona, played in the NBA some for the Golden State Warriors. He now plays in Italy professionally. But I remember, and Marvin Bagley, the third, he's from Arizona.
I didn't know that from Arizona.
So there have been obviously a lot of talent, a lot of players come out of that state.
I will also give you another team that is my most disappointing team. You got me on the ACC and it reminded me, Miami. It's a team that literally returned everybody from a Final Four team and is like 15-30.
Yep.
But now you also got to remember, they have not had – Nigel Pack for like a month now. So he's another best player.
Yeah. You want me to name two, Rob? Or do you have
Yeah, you can go ahead and name another if you want. I just threw that one in there.
That's a good one. No, that's a good one because that's kind of a team that, to be honest, then again, I kind of forgot about. It's funny. I want to say we were talking just me and you kind of, you know, off the air back last even summer a lot about, you know, obviously me and you love college basketball so much, but just kind of keeping that conversation going of who has a chance next year. And we were talking about with Nigel Pack coming back on that Miami team, we thought maybe they'd have a chance to kind of keep it going, you know? Definitely with NIL, I feel like Miami is an NIL. That's an NIL dream. Like, I feel like they should be able to get any player they want. You know what I mean?
But it's about a school caring about basketball. Look at Kentucky. I'm sure Kentucky's NIL program is great. You know, legal or illegal for basketball, it could probably be amazing for football. But they don't care.
Yeah. And it's a, that's actually a really good point. If Miami football can't really get it done right now, Miami basketball is not going to get it done either. You know what I mean? As much as I love Jim Larranega, man, he's one of my favorite coaches. I've always liked his demeanor, and kind of his values for sure. But I agree. I think they're up there to go from a Final Four, have that momentum in the state of Florida to be able to get recruits and get some players, you know, between Florida, between kind of the Big Five or really Big Six schools, Florida State, Miami, Central Florida, South Florida. I'll throw FAU in there, just because of what they did last year, getting to a Final Four. But between all those teams, who's the worst team out of that group, you think? It's the team you just said, the Miami Hurricanes, when it comes to basketball. My most surprised team too, to go back. Can we make one quick jump back to
Oh, yeah.
surprise teams, and then I'll come back and name. I'm gonna name two of my disappointing teams. One team I forgot to mention, Rob, and I should have mentioned them, knowing how much I keep up with the AAC, South Florida Bulls.
Yeah, I mean that's
I
an
mean,
incredible turnaround.
12 games in a row, lost their first game of the conference, won 12 in a row. We're down 20 points to Memphis. Came back and won that game, but they are very, very well coached. I tell you what, a school that is really getting their athletics in order is South Florida. They're building. They are going to be. I think they're going to be a team to look out for in every sport: football, basketball, and baseball. Because they are really making a financial commitment to getting their facilities back going for sure. My first disappointing team, Rob, is Michigan.
Yeah, that's
I mean that. Cool. To go from where they were under Beilein, you have Juwan Howard step in. And Juwan Howard, he came into a pretty good situation. You know what I mean? With
came into a great situation.
a team that had been winning, a team that had been winning a lot. I mean, Michigan 11 years ago was playing for a national championship. And here they are right now. Sitting at, I think they're 8-18, Rob.
Yeah, I don't think he's making it. But I mean, to piggyback off what you just said with John Beilein, what he leaves Howard. So Beilein misses the tournament at Michigan in 14-15. He then goes first round Sweet 16, runner up Sweet 16 his last 4 years. I mean, like you just that's what he hands over to Juwan Howard.
Yeah. Sorry, Rob. They're 8-20.
Oh, good.
So
Even better.
I missed the game. I guess I missed one of their last games from last week. They played Purdue. One of their last games was Purdue. I remember on Sunday. They got beat by 12. Or no, got beat by 8. They've had some games where they played close, but it's just like, you know, they just should be better. They should be better than 8-20. I'm sorry. Like, if you go 8-20 one year at Michigan, you shouldn't be coaching there.
And
But
remember this about Michigan. They were the number one. They were a number one seed in 2021. They made it to the Elite Eight and got beat by a hot UCLA team. They made it to the Elite Eight as a number one seed.
yeah, I remember.
I mean, it's just the fall off for them has just been incredible. And you know, you mentioned Beilein. Funny you mention him. Does Michigan make a run back at Beilein? Do
Yeah.
you say, hey, come in, right this ship for 2, 3 years, let us go find somebody? I don't know the answer to that question, but that may be the first call I make is John Beilein.
Yeah. That was an interesting move when he went to the NBA. Like, he was a prime, perfect college coach. I'm looking, Oliver, I can never say his last name. No, but he was at Tennessee last year. He was at Tennessee last year. They beat Duke. He had 26 points. He transfers to Michigan. I see him transferring, and then I see a guy named Caleb Love committed to Michigan last year with Hunter Dickinson on their team still. I'm looking at that roster thinking, that team's going to have a chance to make some noise. So you go from kind of having some hype around your name to saying, hey, you know, got to the NCAA tournaments all these years, even with Beilein, even with Juwan Howard.
I'll tell you, Al, I'll give you another name at Michigan.
Caleb Love, real quick. Do you think Caleb Love, sorry, Rob, you think Caleb Love saw the writing on the wall? Maybe?
No, I just think he wanted to be in a situation where he was the number one option, which he got at Arizona and has made it work.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to be the number one
option. Dickinson leaving.
Yeah, well, I think he stays if Dickinson left before he went to Arizona. But,
yeah,
you know, you bring up an interesting point with Michigan. We said Beilein. I'll give you another name. To complete the full circle of everything that's happened at the University of Michigan over the last 40 years, Brian Dutcher.
Oh, you know, man.
Full Steve Fisher's
that's a good one,
old
Rob.
Assistant.
That is a good one.
Back to Michigan. Oh,
that's a good one. That's a good. That's a good one to think about right there.
Now, here's the question. If Michigan fires Juwan Howard, who was Juwan Howard's number one recruiter? Brian Dutcher. Does Brian Dutcher take the job of the guy he spent every day recruiting for 2 years? I cannot see that happen.
That's crazy. You're burning some bridges there, don't you think, Rob?
I mean, you're 64 years old. I mean, the other problem with Michigan that I think they backed themselves into a corner with Howard. They just finally got back in the Fab Five's good graces. Now you're going to go fire Juwan Howard? I mean, you've backed yourself. But if you're Michigan, can you afford to keep him another year?
Yeah.
I don't believe you can. You know, Ward Manuel has a terrible decision on his hands because you're going to alienate people no matter what you do. It's the question of, do I want to alienate my boosters or do I want to alienate my former players?
Yeah. I think, that's a tough one, Rob, because you need both. Both matter so much to a program to have those former players around. But then again, who's putting the money up for all this NIL and all these perks that you get at the college level? You know what I mean?
Well, but, you know, yeah, you need former players. That's not wrong. The Fab Five wasn't just former players. I mean, they were a cultural revolution that came onto Michigan's campus. They were probably, you know, who won the national championship in 1992? Nobody outside of me and you can tell anybody that.
Yeah.
But who was the Fab Five? Average college basketball fans can tell you that. Can you really go say, well, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to fire that guy and burn that bridge? Because that bridge was burned for so long. Can you now go back and burn it again for forever?
Yeah. It would be interesting to see for sure.
It will be. So who is your second disappointment?
Man, that's tough. I was going to go another Big 12 team. But I think, Rob, I'm going to have to go back to the Louisville Cardinals.
Yeah, Kenny Payne. You want to talk about coaches who are definitely done? Kenny Payne, definitely done.
And that's the thing. Like, for me, I feel like I don't want to – I kind of want the audience to know and understand. Me, obviously, you being around the game forever, you come from a family of some coaches yourself. You know how hard it is yourself. You know what I mean? Just how hard it is to coach. And obviously, I respect anybody at this level. But just, just having a conversation, it's just sometimes you dig yourself a hole, Rob, or you kind of get stuck in a situation that's not your fault. And it is what it is, You go from Rick Pitino winning a national championship, all those years of, how those Louisville Kentucky battles and how good Louisville was, to having a team right now that is 8-19, 3-13 in conference. Like, I think Louisville, there's no excuse for Louisville not to be good. They have one of the nicest brand new basketball arenas. They have the facilities, and I feel like they had the name brand. They have the name brand to be good. Like, Louisville has historically had really good basketball teams, and they play in historically the best conference, the ACC.
Well, I mean, you go back to look, Chris Mack's at Louisville. He goes through round of 64. The next year, he's 24-7, and COVID happens. Then he's 13-7 because of weirdness in college basketball still, and they fire in the middle of the season
For what? I can't remember.
because they wanted to fire because they wanted to fire him.
Yeah, I thought it was like a recruiting something. Something stupid, wasn't
I
it?
don't think so. I think it was just they just wanted to fire.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, you're right. He violated the guidelines while dealing with Dino Gaudio's extortion attempts. And it was, they used that to go get Kenny Payne. I mean, that's all it was. They used that to go get Kenny Payne, and that's who they thought they wanted. And hey, look. If you would have asked me, I would have told you Kenny Payne's going to be a great coach. Kenny Payne had been John Calipari's ace recruiter for so many years. You
Yep.
think, man, you give him NIL, he's going to have all this. And
Yep.
doesn't have any of it.
Yep. And they had the transfer from Illinois, Sky Clark, Tennessee kid from Ensworth School in Nashville. He's probably their best player as a sophomore. Obviously, it was tough. Maybe if you would have had L. Ellis this year with Sky Clark. They would have maybe had some good guard play. I actually saw Louisville play Texas this year. They got beat on a last second shot. I tell you, who made the shot was Max Abe
He's
Abmas,
missed the kid
Asmus.
from Oral Roberts.
But I was looking at Louisville. I was like, man, maybe they are going to be better this year. But just,
Spoiler alert, they weren't.
yeah, they just. They do not. They are not what they used to be, Rob. With Patina, I was talking. Just remember how big that Louisville Kentucky game was every year.
Oh yeah, I mean it was appointment television, CBS every year. But so, now you look at Payne's going to be fired. I mean, there's no doubt Payne's going to be fired. So,
Yeah.
who do you think's going? I've heard who their number one candidate is.
I'm trying to think of a young coach. I would say like a Dusty May.
I think he's on the list. I
I
think
would say, I
I think
think,
Chris Beard's on the list. I think
yeah.
Chris Beard is probably down the list because I think what I've heard is their number one target is Nate Oates.
Yeah.
Can you pull Nate Oates? If I'm Louisville, I know I got a shot there. Alabama, as good as he's made them, as good if they're in the SEC, but Louisville's Louisville.
Yeah.
Alabama is great, but this isn't Alabama football.
Yeah.
Louisville is Louisville at basketball.
I feel like, though, that SEC money, Rob, the SEC football money has helped the basketball so much, don't you think?
Oh, I agree. And to be frank, I do not expect Nate Oates to say yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another name I've seen is Chris is not Chris Mack, Mick Cronin out at UCLA.
Oh yeah.
I've heard he's very unhappy out there.
You say that you always heard that Chris Beard liked the West Virginia job or the Louisville job?
West Virginia job.
Okay. Does he
Which
have
will be
ties to
open?
Australia?
I don't know. I think it's the Huggins thing.
Yeah.
I think he sees Huggins as a pretty close night guy.
Yeah.
But
Is
I
Bobby
don't
Huggins, is he a night disciple?
know. I don't think so. Bob Huggins is an interesting character. Let's
I
see.
met him last year, Rob. I went and shook his hand.
Was
He was
he drunk?
I just went up to
Been
him. I
one of
was
the
like,
few times he wasn't. No, he never coached under Knight, so I don't know.
yeah, but well, West Virginia just has that basketball history too, you know. Speaking of West Virginia, Rob, at the end, remind me, Rob, at the end, we're going to have to, I think we're going to have to talk a little bit about, we're going to have to talk a little bit about some Randy Moss, J. Will stories, all right?
You've
I don't
never
know what's
gone
in
and
there.
seen Rand University, folks, go watch it because my God.
That, real quick, Rob, before we kind of transition, you know how we are. Any comment we make can go down the rabbit hole. You know what I mean, Rob? I tell you what, one thing that ESPN has gotta step back up on are some of those 30 for 30s. We need 10 solid 30 for 30s to come out in the next 2 years. I miss I man those thir some of those 30 for 30s back in the day were so good. I guess the last dance, they
That wasn't
kind of,
even a 30 for 30, though.
well, it wasn't a 30 for 30, but I was saying it kind of took the place of a, the 30 for
Yeah.
30. I haven't spent time on that, but you can't beat the old, Rand Universities and the Survive and Advance and the Fab Five. You can't beat the U, the
The
one about
U and the U part two.
the U one, part one, part two, man, those are good. Those are really good.
And folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, Randy Moss and Jason Williams played on the same high school basketball team. Literally, they were on the same team. And if you have not seen the highlights, go look them up because it's basically a dunk contest in the middle of podunk West Virginia.
Yeah, man, it was fun. But do you want to talk about some Rob, you want to talk about some Mark? So if it wasn't a leap year, tomorrow would be the first day of March Madness. They are making us wait an extra day, Rob.
They're just
So
letting John Rothstein get his tweet ready for another day.
they're wait making us wait one more day, Rob, but Friday, that means Friday I'm gonna wake up to one shining moment. I gotta make sure I set my alarm. I don't know if my family here will like that too much to hear that go off at 6 a.m., but one shining moment will be blaring Friday morning
Yeah,
at
and
6 a.m.
folks, you think he's joking. He's not, because I've woken up in the same room with him. And trust me, it plays. And if you know anything about Al, he snoozes his alarm or just flat out misses it. And so that chucker will just play for like 3 minutes. You'll get the entire song.
It's March, baby. You got to get ready. But what is a team, Rob, if you're coaching in March and you see them on your path to Phoenix, what is one team that you're thinking to yourself, oh goodness, I do not want to play them?
I got five.
Okay, I love it.
First team, and I'll sound like a homer, but it's Mississippi State. I
I
don't want to see that defense. I don't. I would if so. If I'm a team, and I see Mississippi State as our first round opponent, I feel okay. We get 4 days, not great, but we get four. If I'm a second round opponent, I'm not sleeping because you can't prepare for that in 2 days.
We
That defense is just something else. And the way Josh Hubbard right now is playing is just on another level from anything I've seen in a very long time. But they say defense travels. And in the same vein, that's why I look at a team like Iowa State. I think the way TJ Oxenberger
Oh
has
man, they're on
done
my
in that, I
list.
mean, they're just They're ridiculous.
They're on my list for sure, right? When we get there. But last night, obviously last night, Rob off shoot you a text watching that game. And I said it right to you last night. I said, I know, obviously State didn't pull it out, but I tell you what, I do not want to play them. And to be honest, I could see a scenario where State plays Kentucky in the SEC tournament and beats them. I really do. I could see Mississippi State getting to that Friday night, or sorry, that Saturday semifinal game with a chance to play on Sunday in that SEC tournament. Shout out SEC tournament. I love that Sunday game. You can't beat that,
Oh no, you can't.
but I agree. I think one thing that State has is an older roster and an older team, and they have guys that have been there for multiple years. And I feel like that's a trend that I keep talking to people about. You got to have guys that have been there multiple years to build and to have a team that wins and have that continuity. They have that. And then you throw in a guy like a Hubbard who can come off the bench, score 16 to 25 points for you. And, they're a scary team. Cam Matthews, Tolu Smith, DJ Jeffries. They got some older guys, and they got some guys that are physical and can defend, like you said.
All right, Al. Now I'm getting ready for my first mid-major of the night. If you have
I
not
love
watched
it.
this team play, folks, go watch them play. The James Madison Dukes at 26, about to be 27-3 on the year. I'm telling you, Terrence Edwards Jr., folks, know the name for March because this kid can play basketball.
They were one of the last teams that didn't that were unbeaten.
Yeah, I mean that look, and they're 20 now, 27-3 on the year. I mean, their only losses are to, I think it's like Southern Miss, App State maybe, and somebody else, but not many losses. Let's see, Southern Miss, App State, and App State. So App State swept them. And that's another team. I think they're not on my list, but I think that's a team you got to look at. App State and James Madison, one of those teams has got to get the bid for their conference. App State sits at also, I think they're also like 20 something and three, 25-3 maybe. That's a good team. So, somebody out of that Sun Belt is going to be hell come March. Team number four, it's a team we saw in Houston last year, Florida Atlantic. If they can get in the tournament, which I think they will, I mean, that's a veteran team that's been there. They honestly, who they remind me of? Those Butler teams in the mid 2010s. Just that veteran team that knows how to get there and knows how to win in March.
And when they get to a tournament, they know how to,
Yeah.
yeah, they're when they it's like they're when they get playing in a tournament atmosphere, they just play at a different level.
Well, I mean, go to this year. They play Arizona out in Phoenix and play them and play a hell of a game. Beat them in double overtime. That's a team that really is going to, I think they can shock some people. And then team number five, it's a team I watched last night. It's Kentucky. Kentucky right now scoring the basketball is scary. I mean, they're offensively, they are clicking at a level I haven't seen a Calipari team click at in a very, very long time. You got obviously Rob Dillingham. He is an incredible player. You obviously have the fab freshman DJ Wagner, and then last night you see it, Reed Shepard, what he's able to do.
Reed Shepherd, cut from a different cloth too, man.
Dad played at Kentucky.
Mom and dad both played at Kentucky.
Dad was the 97 MOP in the tournament.
Coach Cal, he's been there, done that too. Like he's got he, you know, Watching them play Auburn, when they beat Auburn on the road, I was like, they
Well,
obviously had the
that's a
talent.
game, and I remember they were talking about it all day. Oh, this is Auburn's time, Auburn's time. And I'm just sitting there thinking, have y'all not met John Calipari ever? He thrives on this type of stuff.
And this is when his teams start to play better. February.
It's exactly what my dad and I talked about last night was, this is when Calipari starts to peak his teams. And, the really good ones, the ones that win championships or get right there, they look like crap in January. That's when you got to catch them then, because when they get to February and March, they're tough to beat. I mean, we threw everything we had at Kentucky last night, and Reed Sheppard, 32 points.
It's funny though that you brought up January. You're right. Kentucky did hit that lull in January, didn't they?
They
With the
do, and
three.
they always do. And that's why everybody that was when everybody was saying, is it time for Cal to retire? Is it, this and that? You got their fans wanting Nate Oates to come coach them. I'm like, look, Calipari may, or my bad, they wanted to fire Calipari because they actually had the money to do that. But they don't have the money. There's not enough money in the state of Kentucky, and that's a rich state, to fire John Calipari and a lifetime contract.
Yeah,
But
you're not getting rid of Coach Cal. He's
no.
one thing that I respect about Coach Cal, even within this NIL stuff, he's a special person or a special coach because he can bring in the transfers when he wants them. But you go look at who has the number one recruiting class coming in next year.
Oh, it's probably Kentucky. I don't have to look.
Duke and
Oh, Duke.
Kentucky.
Yeah, Duke's got the flag kid who is special.
Duke's got the number one class, but Kentucky, I think it's got the number two class.
But Al, you just brought up an interesting point about the transfer portal and using it. And I notice you're wearing your Memphis Tigers basketball hoodie there. Who else to talk about the transfer portal
I'm
than Memphis?
always repping the Tigers.
Al, what's going on with Memphis?
Shout out Jamie Rosser, assistant coach for the Tigers.
Shout out Rick Stansberry. He may
Shout
not
out,
make it much longer having to coach with
shout
Penny,
out
but
Coach
shout
Stansberry.
out Rick Stansberry.
Dude, Memphis has probably, I think they really do have one of the best. If you just look at like coaching staff and like people who've been around basketball, unbelievable staff. Unbelievable staff. Obviously, you know how much I support the Tigers. I think it's hard. I just think basketball's so hard to bring in. I tell you what, Caleb Mills, how much he meant to that team.
Oh, that you're not wrong there.
Like I think one thing, I'm listening and obviously the talent level they have is unbelievable. And I think I would, then again, I do not want to play Memphis in that conference tournament. I do
Well, I
not
don't either.
because Naquan Tomlin is starting to come along and find his own. But I think looking back when Caleb Mills, I remember I had a game that night, but I remember on the radio coming home from the game, I had heard, I remember listening and hearing about Javon Quinterly hitting the shot. But I remember hearing about Caleb Mills getting hurt. That was a huge loss for that team. Just to have a leader, just to have a lead, like another coach on the floor who is not worried about scoring, 20 points a game and just was a good defensive player. But think about the coaches he played for before. Kelvin Sampson, Leonard Hamilton.
Yeah.
So he's been around programs that, are kind of hard-nosed, old school, right?
Well,
So I think
talking about Memphis.
when Memphis lost him, that was a big loss. And to be honest, I think what Coach Hardaway said was right. The team he was coaching before the Caleb Mills loss was a totally different team than what he had when they went on that stretch where they lost a couple games. But
Well, and you talk about Memphis. You said, I don't want to face them in the tournament. You're exactly right, because you look at a guy, for them in David Jones, the senior transfer from St. John's. I mean, this guy, you're talking a guy who can score. He's been Memphis's leading scorer in, I think, all but 4 games, he's been Memphis's leading scorer.
Yeah, he's so strong with the ball. You know, it's he's a true get to the rim when he wants. And I will say, kind of just to clarify, I was talking about, Memphis in the AAC tournament, because I think Memphis, they've put themselves in a position where they're gonna have to win that tournament, the AAC tournament, to get into the big dance. Don't you think, Rob?
Where is the AAC tournament this year? It's in Fort Worth. Wow.
Fort Worth, Dickies
Okay. Be
Arena.
out in Fort Worth. That shoot.
I thought about coming out there, Rob, and staying with you, but I gotta say, we gotta save our money
For the Final Four.
for the Final Four in Phoenix.
Well, if Memphis makes it to about Saturday, you head on out. We'll be there. If Memphis, let's look at the AAC standings. Sorry that we've gone off on a tangent again. But I did want to talk about Memphis. Memphis now is, well, I just looked up the America East, so
20
it's
and 8.
around
20
conference
and
one.
8. 10 and 6, right? In the
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're sixth. So if you pull up the AAC bracket, they would have to play, let's
9 and
see.
6. Sorry, 9 and 6 in conference. 20 and 8.
So they're sixth right now. Just looking at the bracket from last year or 2 years ago, they would play the 11, and then they'd get the three in the, they'd get the two and the three. So you look at that. You're sitting there, okay, well, Florida Atlantic's the two, but
Yeah.
Charlotte's tied with Florida Atlantic.
Right. And I think
So you probably ended up with one of them for the two or the three. But I'm going to tell you, there's a team out there at 10-4 and fourth in the American that I think we need to talk about, because it's AK. It's AK. It's Andy Kennedy. And you're talking one guy who just relishes ruining March for teams.
Oh
Andy
my
Kennedy's
God.
your guy, folks. But fourth
Every
size is too big, suits. He's got shorts that go down to his ankles, but he can coach.
trip down the court is a different defense too. Every trip. I mean, talking about a team, talking about a coach's nightmare is when you have to face a team that can run three different defenses in the half court, and every possession, it's going to be man, a 2-3 matchup, or a 1-3-1 into a 2-3, or a
Well,
2-3, or a 2-3 that turns into a man-to-man.
then he'll put that, he'll 1-3-1 half court trap you, and he'll extend that 1-3-1 all the way to half court, and he'll just trap the first pass.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. But I will say, a lot of people, obviously, Rob, here in Memphis, I hear about this is what I hear about all day. People dog the AAC conference, and I don't care. I get the whole numbers game. I get, then they talk about, KenPom, all that, which I pay attention to as well, and I know that's a big part of it. But that conference is underrated. There's a lot of good quality, I think, teams in that conference that are overlooked. And I just tell people all the time, my kind of statement to when a team loses some games they shouldn't maybe lose on paper, I just tell people all the time, that's just basketball. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. A team that goes to show how special that Kentucky team was that almost went undefeated, And if you remember, Georgia, who had no business being on the same court with them during those years, almost beat them. You remember?
Adam beat.
Had them beat. So, it's just basketball. I guess I go right back to that statement. It's just basketball.
Well,
but
so you know, if you look at Memphis, they're 20-8 right now. So they close at East Carolina, UAB at home, at FAU. If you win all three of those, which winning at FAU is going to be tough, but again, Memphis has top 10 talent. Nobody will ever say otherwise. That's 23-8. That gives you another quad one win. I think you're on the bubble in that situation. I still think you probably have to get to the conference championship. But, I mean, you know, you think about that. You're going to play FAU again. That's another chance for a quad one win. You play SMU, that's a chance for a quad one win on a neutral court. I mean, Memphis, can they rack up five quad one wins before the end of the year and get there? Maybe so. And then I think you're in there.
I think what hurt Memphis was the Michigan win ended up not being that good of a win.
Arkansas win
ended up being not that great of a win.
The Missouri win.
So, like, a lot of those wins early on that looked like, man, those are some quality wins, ended up not being so great.
Well, and you can say the same thing.
I would even say the Clemson win.
Yeah, you can say the same thing for Ole Miss. You know, the North Carolina State win ends up not being that great of a win. The Memphis win, which looked great at the time, ends up not being that great of a win. At UCF, not that great of a win, although it ends up being quad one. But, you know, I just think, you know, a lot of times you talk about the quad and stuff like that. And, you know, Mississippi State is a good example for me. I mean, you know, we play Arizona State to start the year. That looks like a good game. They should have a net near 50, 150. You just don't know.
Yeah. I don't agree with the whole, let's expand the field to 96 teams.
I think that's stupid, but we can talk about that on Selection Sunday.
Well,
we can start discussing the virtues of should we have had 15-18 Miami in the tournament. I mean, you got to cut. There's got to be a cutoff somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, so Rob, you had.
I had Mississippi State,
Kentucky, FAU. Did you want to keep Memphis and UAB in yours?
No. I just went Mississippi State, Iowa State.
Oh yeah, Iowa State.
James Madison, FAU, and Kentucky. So
that's right, James Madison. Sorry, yeah, James Madison. So, I was gonna say I'll let you have Iowa State, Rob.
Okay.
Can I say North Carolina?
Oh yeah, you can say whoever you want.
Yeah. I watched them play the other night against Miami. RJ Davis had that 42 point game. I do not want to play them. So North Carolina, I don't want to play them because they've been there. I know that Caleb Love has left and gone to Arizona, but they have Baycott still. They have RJ Davis. They have guys that have been there and been to a national championship game. All right. And then you throw in a guy like a Cormac Ryan. You throw in some guys that are just kind of really 3-and-D type players. They're tough, hard nosed kind of defenders, but they can make shots.
Yeah.
I'm looking at North Carolina. I'm looking at North Carolina because they can make shots. They got a couple shooters, and they got a big guy that can rebound and really, you know, make a difference in the paint on some pick and roll stuff. So I've got North Carolina. Can I be a homer right now? I know my Memphis fans might not like this just because of the rivalry. Houston Cougars.
Yeah, nobody wants to see them.
I do not want to play them. That defense is stifling. And, they have two of the best guards in the country.
Jamal Shedd is probably the most underrated player in the country.
And Kelvin Sampson said it after they beat Iowa State last Monday night. He said it. He said, I got one of the best point guards in the country. Then again, for all these college coaches out there that love the transfer portal, Jamal Shedd has been at Houston for 5 years. You got to have that on your team if you're going to win. You got to have that player that's been in your program for a long time. So I've got North Carolina. I know I'm throwing kind of the blue bloods here. But North Carolina, Houston. The other team I don't want to play in March is Creighton. I do not want to play Creighton because then again, they are just coming off. They're kind of the team. That's another team, Rob, that we talked about, like with like an FAU, that when they get into a tournament, you just don't want to play them because then again, they got guys that can make shots. They have Kalkbrenner, who is just a load inside.
Kalkbrenner's Zach Edey, if Zach Edey could handle the basketball.
Yep. So I've got Creighton, Houston, North Carolina. The other team I'm going is I haven't pulled up right here. Where'd I go? UConn. Sorry, UConn.
Yeah, because everybody just is going to love seeing you, Alex Caravan at 6'7" coming down the court, or Klingon at 7'2".
I don't want to play UConn. I get it. I'm picking all the teams that are really good right now. But UConn coming off a national championship. I'm betting on Dan Hurley, Rob. I'm
I
betting on
saw an interesting
Dan Hurley.
bet.
Shout out, Coach Hurley. We're gonna need you on the Lefty and the Coach podcast here soon.
I told you this. I may have told, I don't know if I told you, but I saw a bet the other day. It was, would you take UConn or the field in the NCAA tournament? And I had to sit there and think, I may still take UConn. I mean, that team is just, it's funny. Dan Hurley is probably the only coach in America to ever do the, you better get us now. We're going to be good. Every other coach, it backfires. Dan Hurley says it 2 years ago, and I think they are like, they've lost like 10 games and won 60 something since he said that.
Oh, they're crazy. They're so good, man.
And
And
you
then
know Dan Hurley, Al. He I don't think he's ever said a cuss word in his life. It was only every other word.
he loves the colorful language. We'll just say that.
Does.
But then again, you have a point guard that's been in your program. You have a big guy that's been in your program. Like, that's the common theme I think you see here. You know what I mean, Rob? So to review, I got North Carolina, Houston, Creighton, UConn. I'm going with the Brigham Young University Cougars.
Good team. I almost picked them.
Then again, you have five guys that can score. You have Khalifa, a big. You have teams that can really play pick and roll game and really share the ball and can make shots. That's kind of the teams that I like in March. Teams that can make shots and teams that can score. And just kind of a team that can get hot over a 2 week span and win beat anybody. So those are kind of the teams I'm looking out for.
Now, I'm going to give you one more team that no one's talking about and everyone needs to be talking about. The Princeton Tigers.
Ooh, I like that one.
19-3 on the year. They've only lost two conference games, but they hold some very, very impressive wins on the year. But again, that's a team. Sweet 16 last year. Talk
And
about it.
the good thing about the Ivy League now is they have the conference tournament now.
Correct. Yeah.
Remember you had to win the conference in the season to make the you had the automatic bid.
No, because remember they went to a top two. It was you had to play the top two teams had to play each other.
But now they have the full
Yeah,
tournament,
now it's a full tournament.
which I like. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I would have said I guess this is my sixth team. If we want to just go ahead and throw six out there, Tennessee. Tennessee obviously just won against Auburn, Dalton Connect.
I don't want to see Dalton Connect.
I don't want to.
Good
I don't want to
Lord.
see them. I don't want to see. I don't want to see a Tennessee team that is that well coached, has a tough guard, has some older players and some size and just some big guys that like to play, tough inside and tough defense. See, It's funny, I was picking all the other teams for their offense, but Tennessee's one of those teams that can win any way in the tournament. If you want to rough the game up and make it a 58-55 game in the NCAA tournament, they can win that way. If you want to make it in the 80s or 90s, they can win that way too. So I think they're a team that can win kind of in different styles, you know.
Also, Dalton Connect had 39 tonight. So yeah,
Did he really?
he could literally drop. He's a guy that, you go back a few years ago and you'll remember it, but you remember how Buddy Hield just basically would take over games? That's
Yep.
Dalton Connect.
You know who he reminds me of too, Rob? This is kind of a random one. I like the Buddy Hield comparison. He's like an Adam Morrison to me.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Just because he you look at him, which he probably has a little more height than Adam Morrison, but
I think they're. I think Morrison may have been around that height because didn't connect about
Morrison
six
about
eight.
6'7", 6'7", 6'8".
Let's see. He's 6'6", actually.
Yeah,
Morrison may be taller.
but just so Connect might only be about 6'5" then, right?
No, connect 6'6". That's what I was saying. Adam Morrison was 6'8", but same thing
Okay,
really.
so Morrison was a little bit bigger. But just kind of that same game, just kind of like can really get to spots. Doesn't have to do a lot of crazy stuff with the ball, can just kind of like shot fake and go and get to an elbow or maybe a jab and just kind of create that space off a step back or something. Come off a screen and just his game, it's kind of a simple game, but any game, any basketball is easy if you can make shots, and that's what Dalton Connect can do. And I will say his length, and he's a sneaky athlete. Dude can get up and get, you know, he can finish through contact. So I really like Tennessee if it was fair for us to throw a six team out there. So
No, it was. Yeah, absolutely. So, Al, now we'll go into our last segment of the night. Since this has been college basketball heavy, we'll just finish up with our top 10 list of the night. The top 10 college basketball players we've watched in person. So,
I like
you've
this a
actually
lot.
been with me for like four or five of these, but I'll give an honorable mention to one we saw play in high school from Chicago Simeon High, Jabari Parker.
Oh, dude, talk about a beast in high school. You can't add, hey, Rob, you can't teach 6'9", 230 in high school with a
No.
turnaround jump shot, can you?
And ran like a deer.
I tell you what hurt him was tearing his ACL.
Yeah, he killed it. I mean, he killed all his progression.
You know, just his body just changed when he tore his ACL, which I can only, you know, it just goes to show like you only get one basketball career and it's so precious, you know. But one thing I always respect about Jabari Parker, he seemed like a good kid and had his head on straight. But was a menace in high school with that. He had a true, I tell you who he kind of reminds me of, but obviously is this guy is way more athletic, Anthony Edwards. He kind of had that, like he kind of has the same shot.
If you could have compared them in college, they were probably around the same player.
But obviously Anthony Edwards has that. He's different. He is different, you know, getting off that left foot for a dunk, quick first step. But
Yeah.
Jabari Parker definitely up there. Who's your number 10, Rob?
I'm going to go with a guy I saw play in the SEC tournament back in the mid-2000s, Rajon Rondo.
I like that.
I watched that kid play for Kentucky in the SEC tournament, and I thought he was the fastest point guard I have ever seen. What he was able to do with the ball was just, I mean, that was when you talk about people who could see passes or see passes before they happen, that was him.
Yeah. Do you want to name 10, your 10, and I name my 10
No,
too?
I'll let you go here on number 10.
Okay. So your number 10 is Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo.
My number 10, Matt Bonner.
Ooh,
Matt
throwback
Bonner.
Florida.
Matt Bonner, obviously I'm being a little bit of Homer right here. And a few, I will say, Rob, I got you'll like one of them on my list. I think you'll appreciate one of them that I have on my list. I got one more that's maybe a little bit of a homer on my list, but me being a Florida fan, Matt Bonner in college, Rob. Think
Yeah.
about a dude, obviously an NBA that could just shoot the lights out.
Were
But then
him and Walsh on the same team at Florida?
no,
No,
Walsh
that was
came
him and
after.
David. Him was it him and David Lee?
David Lee, think about this. They had David Lee, Matt Bonner, and I have another, I guess I got another homer on there too, Rob. This guy was actually my number nine. Can I go ahead and say my number
Yeah, go
nine?
ahead and say your number nine.
Matt Bonner 10, Udonis Haslem 9.
UD.
UD 40. Shout out UD. I was listening to your OG's podcast.
So my number nine is a Florida player, actually. Also, Corey Brewer.
Ooh.
You talk about a guy who in college could just absolutely tear the rim down. He could shoot a three. He got to the goal, could play defense, and had a really long NBA career as well. But I mean, that guy in college. Ooh.
CB2. With the
So I'll go
headband. Man,
ahead.
he could rock a headband too, couldn't he?
Yeah, gone were the days where players could rock headbands. Corey Brewer, though, headband OG. He even kept it on the NBA when he's bald. But my number eight, little known guy, but I watched him one night in Starkville, literally almost beat us single-handedly from Wofford, Fletcher McGee. If you remember that Wofford team that played Kentucky a few years ago, Fletcher McGee. I think he was 50, 40, 90 that year, which 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90% from 3-point. It just absolutely the truth. The kid could play.
I like him. So that's your number. Is that your number
That's
eight or
eight.
number eight? All right, Rob, for me, number eight, I'm gonna go Johnny Flynn, Syracuse.
Yep. Absolutely.
Johnny Flynn, Syracuse. Obviously, we saw him play 2008 in the NCAA tournament
Oklahoma.
against Oklahoma. Yep, against Oklahoma.
There's a couple of players from that regional on my list.
So just he was one of my favorite guards back in the day. I love Johnny Flynn, but obviously getting to see him play in person, that was special. Unfortunately, didn't have the NBA career. He got drafted high, but just didn't have the NBA career. But
Yeah,
was a special, was definitely a special player in college for sure. Yeah.
absolutely.
So that's my number seven.
Okay, who's your number six?
Cool, you're throwing me on the spot here. Number
And that
six.
was your number eight.
Yeah, that
So
was
who's
my
your
number
number
eight.
seven?
Yeah, so I've gone. Yeah, my bad. Number eight, Matt Bonner. I've gone Matt Bonner, UD 40, Udonis Haslem. I've gone Johnny Flynn.
Yeah.
This is another one of my homers, Rob. But then again, I got to go with people I've seen live, right, in
Yeah.
person. Talking about a dude that could, in one play, have you talking about he could create a, let's just say he could create a play in a game, and literally the whole drive home for me, we would be talking about like, man, that dude's different. And this is I'm just talking about college basketball.
Yeah.
Tariqo White at Ole Miss.
Yeah. Yeah. Tarico could play.
So, and you'll appreciate one of them I have on my list too here coming soon, Rob. But I will say I feel like maybe me and you, obviously, at least just being SEC fans, Tariqo White was different.
I remember Andy Kennedy's first Mississippi State Ole Miss game. He brought Tariqo White into the hump, and Tariqo White had like 28 and beat us
Yep, as a freshman, I remember that
as a
game.
freshman. Yeah. So
But
I think
that
you'll
dunk against
actually,
Kentucky, remember that dunk against
yeah,
Kentucky?
I do. I actually do. I think you'll appreciate number seven on my list. I hated this guy, hated him, but my God, he could score. Marshall Henderson.
I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, you can say what you want about him. He was a flamboyant asshole, but my God, he could score. And Andy Kennedy, He ran those damn – you and I can call him the Craig Daly screen. He'd have three people lined up the baseline, and Henderson just run down the baseline and shoot a three.
And he didn't care. That's the thing about him that made – what made him special was he didn't care what people thought about him, you know?
Al, I got a funny story about him. I was watching – it's my freshman year at State. I was watching Ole Miss play Vanderbilt with Craig Sword, Gavin Ware, Fred Thomas, who all played at State. And Henderson hit that half-court shot against Vandy. And Fred Thomas started running down the damn hall screaming at the top of his lungs, "That cracking just Haggis hit that shot. My God!"
Man,
it was Marshall Henderson without a doubt. Number six, a guy I saw play last year, and you talk about a guy who just his team needed a bucket, he got it. Brandon Miller. Say what you want about him, Brandon Miller. If Alabama needed a bucket, give it to Brandon Miller. He was going to go score.
Oh yeah, what's he? I haven't kept. Is he having a good year in the NBA right now?
An okay year in Charlotte.
Yeah.
But he plays for Charlotte, so nobody really knows he's in the NBA.
Yeah.
So who do you have at number six?
Are we at number six right now?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. I got to go back to that 2008 because that was a special. That was a special year, Rob.
Yep.
Just getting that was obviously our first NCAA tournament experience. Getting to go. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go. Wayne Ellington.
Yep. Wayne Allen, a heck of a player on those North Carolina teams.
Just then again, I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't know. Obviously, these guys aren't kind of the LeBron James. I get it, but we're going off players we saw play in college.
Yeah,
that just were different in college. Wayne Ellington on that team, I remember in that game against Oklahoma, he got hot. Remember? So he hit some big shots. And I remember he hit a bunch against Gonzaga. Remember they played Gonzaga in that nightcap? Remember we were at that game?
Dan Dickow was the point guard for Gonzaga.
That's right. And they had the guy at number 15 that had the curly hair. Remember?
Yeah.
They had Austin Day, who I thought about putting on my list. Because he was a beast in college, but
oh, never mind. It wasn't Dan Dickow I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the curly headed point guard. Who was that?
Can't remember his name, Rob.
I can't either.
But you remember Austin Day was on that team.
Yep, I remember Austin Day ended up playing for the Grizzlies, didn't he?
Yep, he did. So
yeah. Oh, it was Matt Bolden.
That's right. Matt Bolden.
Matt Bolden.
Was it Bolden or Bolton?
Bolden.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so your list
Jeremy
right
Pargo
now.
Pargo was also on that team. Good guy.
Yeah, I forgot about Pargo. So your list right now is.
I'm at six, so this will be five for you. My list is going to be Rondo, Brewer, Fletcher McGee, Henderson, and Brandon Miller.
Yeah, and I've gone so far. I've gone Matt Bonner, Udonis Haslam,
Johnny Flynn,
and I just went Wayne Ellington, right?
Yeah, so who's five for you?
I guess I'm going with people that I saw multiple times, and I think you'll appreciate this one. He was so underrated and so undervalued, but dude could score. D-Bossed.
Oh yeah, D can play. D got.
I'm putting him probably over. To be honest, I was kind of going back five or six for him. The only reason I'm probably putting him over Wayne Ellington just for me is because I saw him play more in person. Like every year for 4 years, I saw him play against Ole Miss. You know what I mean? Because Ole Miss and State played twice every year, but. I know that might be a random one you were maybe not expecting, but I felt like he was so – looking back, he was a special player in college.
Yeah, he was.
Just with his size. Yeah. I mean, he's 6'2", 6'3", really, really good pick-and-roll player, can make shots. I always thought – and he was on that team that should have beaten up Kentucky.
No, Kentucky, yeah. He was on that 12 team that we had Kentucky beat with him and Rodney Hood.
Man, that team, looking back, Rob.
Yeah, that team's a good team.
Loaded.
Yeah. But. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just.
You think that's five? You think that's all right to put him at five?
Oh, yeah. So, my number five is a guy we saw a few times that weekend in the NCAA tournament, Tyler Hansbrough. Talk about a guy who just – I mean, that guy could just get to the goal. I mean, his team needed basketball. He was kind of their spirit guy. I mean, he was their spirit. You could take him out, you gave them problems, but nobody could ever take him out.
Yeah.
Number four for me is a guy – I saw him at Kentucky. You could tell then he was good. You know, my five through ones kind of just got, if you gave him the ball, they're going to go goal and get points. Julius Randle, when he was just a stud at Kentucky.
Yeah, that dude was different. And look at how good he is in the NBA.
Yeah, he's even better in the NBA, but he was good at Kentucky too.
Hey, he's a Dallas boy too.
He is. I think he went to Prestonwood, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Prestonwood to Kentucky.
Yeah. So who is your number four?
This is a kind of funny, Rob. I could not stand this team when I was younger. Like, I'm talking like mad. We get so mad because they were always good and always won, and their fans were obnoxious. Tayshaun Prince.
Yep. I have a funny story about Tayshaun Prince.
Tayshaun Prince, guy. Hey, I know our Memphis Grizzly fans think about Tayshaun Prince, and they're like, oh, he couldn't shoot. He was slow. Go watch him play in college. That dude was going to score and make threes and do whatever he wanted to do and drive left hand and dunk on you whenever he wanted. That dude in college was different.
I have a funny story about Tayshaun Prince. So my brother, his basketball team in high school was playing at team camp at University of Tennessee, and they're down about 60. And my brother getting ready to go up for a rebound, all of a sudden he feels his legs coming over his shoulders. Tayshaun Prince jumped over him to dunk it. And my brother's 6'4", remind you. Tayshaun Prince jumped over him.
That's crazy. He was different.
So we're at,
was he from Kentucky?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he was from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Let's see. He was from – no, he's from Compton. Never mind.
He's from California.
Yeah, he's from Compton.
Oh, dang.
So who now is your number three?
Ooh, this is tough, Rob. This is really tough. I'm gonna have to go another homer pick, Rob.
That's okay.
Then again, another dude who just like could get hot out of nowhere. You're probably not gonna like this pick.
I think I know who you're about to say, Chris Warren.
Chris Warren.
Chris Warren could get hot out of absolutely nowhere.
He was looking back, Rob. I've kind of been sheltered, not sheltered, but I've only seen so many guys play at the college level in person with my own two eyes. And I'm probably going off, you know, guys I've seen a lot. But Chris Warren in college, like, he makes one, and then it's like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You remember the shot he made to beat Kentucky that year? He made that from 35 feet away.
And I've never seen someone shoot so many threes and hardly hit the rim.
Yeah.
Made them, too. Like, he swished them when he made them.
I'm going to tell you.
Chris Warren, I think he's an underrated scorer, you know? Like, to be honest, Rob, if I have a college team that I'm coaching right now and I can have a player like Chris Warren on my team, I'm taking that every year that I have a job, a player like that.
I'm going to tell you, people can say what they want about Andy Kennedy, but that guy could recruit shooters.
and guys and kind of these people that no one else really knew about. You know what I mean?
By the way, Chris Warren still playing basketball.
Yep. He plays in the TBT, so watch him in the TBT.
He's now in the Turkish Professional League.
That's a good league. That's a good league. Really good league.
All right, who's your number three?
Number three. Cool, this is tough, Rob. This is really, really tough. I think I'm going to have to go Hansbrough, too. Tyler Hansbrough.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick.
I mean, dude, just talking about carrying a team on your back for 4 years. And I probably should have him probably two or one. But I think you'll appreciate the other ones I have up there.
I think you'll like my two and one. You'll probably like my three, too.
But Tyler Hansbrough, all-time leading scorer in North Carolina history. Like, we saw him the year they won the national championship.
Yep.
I mean, dude's just different. Dude's just different.
So I'll go number three now on my list. A recent Kentucky guy, but a just absolute could fly. And our story about him, De'Aaron Fox.
Oh.
I remember we played them in 2017. And, you know, that's the year they had Monk and Fox and all them. We were up like, they were up 18 or 19. We make this comeback all the way to get it to like two or three. And I mean, every time we get it two or three, Fox. Every time we get it, De'Aaron Fox. He'd either get to the rim, lay it up, get fouled, hit two free throws, or hit a mid-range jumper. He would not let his team lose. And I mean, you look at the last time, I'm going to tell you, you may have been there. I don't know if you went to this game, that regional final, Kentucky and North Carolina back in 17.
I didn't. My dad went. I should have gone.
That may have been one of the best basketball games I've seen, but it was them and that North Carolina team just dueling down the stretch.
Yeah.
But number two, he may be the most athletic and dynamic player I've ever seen live in a sporting event. And I debated one, but one I had to say for somebody who I saw hit his head on the goal. Number two, Derrick Rose.
Oh, my gosh.
Derrick Rose, folks, if you don't know Derrick Rose at Memphis, it was special. It was very special to watch. I mean, Rose just was ridiculous. I still remember an article ESPN wrote because, you know, at that time, Calipari was famous for the dribble drive motion offense. And I remember that guy called it, it's not the DDR or the dribble drive. It's not the DDM, it's DRD. Derrick Rose dribbling. And it was just, I mean, Rose just got to the basket. And when he got it, he attacked the basket.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll save my one for a little bit later. I'll let you go two and one here.
All right, Rob. So this one, this one is, I got to put him here because I've only seen two number one picks play in college my entire life. I've only seen two. All right. To be honest, I never saw Derrick Rose play, I think, a live game looking back.
I saw him play two.
In college.
Yeah, I saw him play two.
I don't think I went to a Tigers games really that much back then. But I'm going to put this guy on my list because he's a number one pick. And I saw him play live. I got to put him at number two, Paolo Banchero.
Yeah.
I saw him play in the Final Four against North Carolina, the game they got beat. So I got to put him there. Number one pick. Like,
yeah.
I think he had like 20-something, 22, 24. Just you knew. I feel like Paolo Banchero, I will say, he's kind of, I think, a guy you could put on any roster in the NBA and he would kind of find his way, you know,
correct,
and obviously have a role, but be able to make a huge impact. I think he kind of got a special, I like his game because you can kind of, he's got a game that fits with any, really any style of play that you're trying to play, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we just go ahead, Rob, and say we both have the same number ones?
I'm guessing your number one's Blake Griffin.
Oh, my. I got to put him up there. I mean,
he hit his head on the goal.
Then again, we had the privilege of seeing him twice in a span of 3 days.
Yeah, that was when your dad let us down that back alley and we thought we were going to get mugged.
I have never seen a dude in person just that athletic.
I've never seen a dude that in person hit his head on the goal.
And just
he didn't hit it, kind of. He didn't scrape it. No, he hit it on the goal. Because I remember I looked at you and I said, did he just hit his head on the goal? And your dad said, yep, he did.
And I remember what was crazy about him that, then again, gets underappreciated now. Dude just played so hard, too. Like, he was a freak athlete that was playing his rear end off.
Yeah.
And trying to literally jump over you every possession.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, it was insane.
But man, that dude was special. That dude was special.
Extremely special.
Shout out Jeff Capel.
Was Jeff Capel their coach still, or was it Kelvin wasn't there anymore? Had Kelvin gone to Indiana at that point?
Jeff Capel, looking back, was their head coach.
And now he's at Pitt.
Yeah. Who is kind of a sleeper team.
I tend to agree there.
Then again, Blake Henson, Ole Miss, transferred there. Pretty good player.
Speaking of Ole Miss up right now on Auburn or on Alabama. Well, they were up 9. Alabama's now went on a 6-0 run.
Yeah, they were up 13, I think. Kind of what happened to State yesterday. Kind of the same type of game. Get up, hard to hold on.
It's just hard to keep those teams down. But Al, it's been fun getting back after it. We will be back early next week with another podcast. Talk a little bit more about college basketball. But Al, for that, we will be going. So everybody have a great week.